was from God. He knew God was disciplining him with illness because of his sin. Look at verse 1. David speaks of God's anger. David speaks of God disciplining in wrath. David uses the analogy of being hit with an arrow, and he says, the arrows are from you, God, from your bow. And David blatantly speaks of God's hand coming down on him. David knowingly sinned, and David knew God was disciplining him via illness. And David isn't just talking about God's sovereignty over all illnesses. We know that the only reason anything happens in life is that God allows it to happen. The end of Romans chapter 11 says all things are from God, and we sometimes sing a song based on those great verses. So it's right to speak of all illnesses being from God, and I'll actually talk more about that in just a moment, but that is not what David is talking about. He's not talking about God's sovereignty in that way. David isn't saying God allowed him to become ill. No, David is saying God inflicted him with an illness as punishment. God's hand came down on him. That action of God is why I said this psalm might surprise you in a jarring way. David is crying out in this psalm because of physical pain. And it's God who's causing the pain as a form of punishment because of his sin. Now, we don't like to think about God doing that, do we? We might even wonder if David was making a wrong conclusion in this psalm. But he wasn't. David correctly knew that God at times purposefully inflicts with illness to discipline his people who are sinning. And I say that because there are other passages which state the truth. David, for instance, would have known what is written in Deuteronomy chapter 28. After all of the laws of God are listed in the previous chapters of Deuteronomy, we hear this word to the people. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. That's a warning of punishment from God if they sin. And the frightening list of curses is given. Verse 22, for instance, says, the Lord will strike you with wasting disease and with fever, inflammation and fiery heart, and with drought and with blight and with mildew. Notice how that is worded. The Lord will strike you. This isn't God's sovereignty allowing. This is God inflicting. This is God handing out a just punishment. This is a verse David would have known. So David's conclusion that God was inflicting him with illness because of sin, it was not wrong. He knew what was happening. And we need to understand that God does the same today. When we knowingly sin, when we're headed down a bad path, God will sometimes punish us with illness. There is a passage about the communion table that makes this clear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 28, the Apostle Paul writes this, let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. Let verse 30 sink in. Paul's writing to Christians, to people who were partaking of communion. And he says to them, now listen, some of you are weak. Some of you are ill. Some people you know have even died due to partaking of communion in an unworthy manner. Now, that's a jarring verse. Just like Psalm 38 is a jarring psalm. God sometimes disciplines with illness. He did in the Old Testament. He does in the New Testament. God does not change. God is the same yesterday, today, and always. There are not two different gods, Old Testament God, New Testament God. Take that thought out of your brain. That is not true. God is the same always. So David was not wrong when he wrote Psalm 38. He knew he had sinned, and he knew he was physically ill because God was disciplining him. And what David was going through wasn't a minor inconvenience. Listen to what David writes in verses 5 through 8 of the psalm. My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. I'm utterly bowed down and prostrate. All the day I go about mourning, for my sides are filled with burning and there's no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. From this description, we don't know what David's illness was, but this description makes it clear that David was feeling some serious pain. Sounds like he was having a hard time standing up. Now, we need to let passages like this shape what we understand about God and how He works in our lives. We Christians can be very good at ignoring passages of truth we don't like. And we can be very good about picking and choosing what we want to believe about God, and that's not healthy. We need to let the whole counsel of the Word of God shape what we understand about God. If you are new to First Church, I will gladly tell you that one of our core values here at First Church is boldly proclaiming the Word of God. Boldly proclaiming the Word of God. My role as a minister is not to tell you what your ears want to hear. My role is to explain to you and help you apply what the Word of God declares. That's why we typically move through a book of the Bible, passage by passage, sometimes verse by verse. Sometimes we'll take a section of a book and move through it verse by verse. We did that during Advent. We want to let the Word of God speak. And you should do the same when you read the Bible at home. I hope you've all started some sort of Bible reading program for the new year. And if you haven't yet done so, I encourage you to do so. We should be reading the Bible throughout the week. And as you are doing that, as you're reading the Bible, don't jump over or ignore passages you don't like the sound of. Let the whole Word of God speak to you. Today from Psalm 38, we're learning that God was punishing David with physical illness because of his sin. That's one reason David was praying. A second related reason for his prayer is isolation because of sin. Isolation because of sin. Listen to verses 9 through 11. David prays, O Lord, all my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs. My strength fails me. In the light of my eyes, it's also gone from me. My friends and companions stand aloof from my plague, and my nearest kin stand far off. Because of his physical illness, David's friends and companions were staying away from him. And so were some of his family members, his kin. It is likely they didn't want to associate with him because of fear that maybe they would experience the same affliction he had. It's one possibility. It's also possible they were simply repulsed by his illness. There are times we don't want to be around people because it's not pleasant to see their suffering, see their illness. Or maybe they were repulsed by his sin. Maybe they were upset with him. Whatever was going on in their minds and in their hearts, they were staying away from David. And so David was isolated. He was physically ill, and he was alone due to his sin. It's another reason for his prayer. And finally, a third reason for his prayer, I'll call inadequate strength because of sin. Inadequate strength because of sin. David was feeling extremely weak, so weak he was about to fall. He says in verse 17, I am ready to fall. My pain is ever before me. I submit to you, David is speaking emotionally, physically, spiritually in this verse. Constant pain is exhausting. Being isolated simply makes it worse. And David was getting to the point of being emotionally, physically, and spiritually ready to just give in. You know, people can get to the point where they want to die, where they don't want to go on. They have no more will to live. David was nearing that point. He was ready to fall. And this, too, is due to his sin. David was experiencing God's just anger. Look again at verses 1 and 2. Oh, Lord, your hand has come down on me. Now, that doesn't mean God was being cruel to David. We need to get that really clear. God was not being cruel to David. It means God was correcting David. The New Testament tells us very clearly that God disciplines his people because he loves his people. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. That's a beautiful verse. That's what God was doing in David's life. God was treating David with love. God was waking David up. He was giving David a taste of what his sin deserves. He was reminding David that sin is a serious offense to him, his God, and that sin must be dealt with justly. He was reminding David of what David deserved. He was giving David, we might say, a taste of hell, which is where God's just wrath falls on sinners forever. Sin cannot be swept under a rug and ignored. God, who is holy, 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 must punish sin, or God would never have a pure, joyful, holy kingdom. God was reminding David of that, so that David would repent and flee his sin and enjoy communion with God. And we need to learn from this psalm. We need to learn from this psalm that sin is serious. All sin is offensive to God. It's rebellion against God. It must be dealt with justly. David was getting a taste of what all sin deserves. Now, because the psalm can be so jarring, I want to take a moment to point out a clarifying truth from the whole counsel of the Word of God. That's something else we do here at First Church. As we proclaim the Word of God with boldness, we do so utilizing the whole counsel of the Word of God. We use Scripture to interpret Scripture. And while looking at the reality that because of his sin, David was physically ill, isolated, nearing inadequate strength to go on. While looking at that, it's important that we also know another truth from the Word of God. I'm going to put this in parenthesis under everything we've learned so far. We need to know that not all illness or isolation or weakness is disciplined for sin. It's important to know this as well. Sometimes God's sole purpose for sovereignly allowing illness in our lives is to use us for his glory. Our illness might not be related to any sin. It might solely be for the glory of God. The book of Job in the Old Testament teaches us that truth. Job was a righteous man. He was not living in knowing he was sinning. And we learn at the beginning of the book of Job that God allowed Satan to inflict Job with illness and other painful loss. And God allowed that in Job's life in order to glorify himself through Job. Job's friends did accuse Job of unrepented sin, but Job knew they were wrong. Job is a great book that helps us understand why some trials exist in our lives. And in the New Testament as well, we learn that illness sometimes happens solely for the glory of God. Jesus himself makes that crystal clear. Look at John chapter 9 with me. We read, as he, Jesus, passed by, he saw a blind man from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. This man's blindness was not at all a punishment because of a sin he committed. It wasn't a punishment because of some sin his parents committed. His blindness was a way for God to glorify himself. And for all eternity, I believe this man will rejoice that he had the privilege of glorifying God through his blindness and then through the healing of his blindness. Illness, isolation, weakness, all of that can happen for God's glory, simply because God wants to glorify himself through us. I've heard members of First Church tell me they were in the hospital. Because they were in the hospital, they were able to talk to people about Christ. And so they saw that as a reason for them being in the hospital. They have a moment to share Christ with a nurse or someone they meet along the way. God brought them there. Now that's right thinking. That's right thinking. Illness can happen for that reason as well. So when we are experiencing an illness or some other trial like David was, we shouldn't automatically conclude that God is disciplining us because of some sin in our lives. But we also should not ignore the possibility that he is. Instead, what we should do is examine our lives, examine ourselves before God. We should consider how we've been living. We should do that when we are experiencing illness, isolation, inadequate weakness, and we should do that even when we're feeling good. And everything is great. It's good for us to examine ourselves on a regular basis, which is exactly what God calls us to do before we partake of the Lord's communion. We are to examine ourselves before we do so. Ask yourself today, have I been sinning? Do you know you are disobeying God? Is there something you are doing you don't want anyone else to know you are doing it because you know it is wrong? Is there something you rightly feel guilty about? Whether you are sick or whether you're feeling great, that's a good question to ask yourself at the beginning of the year or any time in the year. Do so before God. Ask yourself that question before God. Do so wanting to be right with your holy, loving God, wanting to be more like God, to be sanctified. If you are physically ill and you sincerely go before God and ask him, Lord God, am I sick because of sin in my life? That's a prayer God is going to answer. He will either bring to your mind this sin you need to confess before him, or God will show you it has nothing, your illness has nothing to do with your sin, with any sin you need to confess. David knew he had sinned. David was quite sure, he knew without any doubt that he had sinned. If we could go back in time and ask David about this situation, ask him about his sin, he would be able to describe it for us very well. He could tell us what he had done. And likewise, when we are ill because of sin and we examine ourselves before God, God will make it clear to us what we need to confess. God doesn't want us to be labored with false guilt. That's not a healthy thing. False guilt is not healthy. If we come before Him honestly wanting to examine our lives, ready to change whatever needs to be changed, God is going to answer, because God is our loving Father. We should humbly examine ourselves before God, whether we're sick or not, and ask God to show us our sin. If you're guilty, it's good for you to know you're guilty so you can confess it. And with the communion table set before us, we have a beautiful opportunity to do that today. So the Lord's, one of the reasons God has given us the Lord's tables, this awesome opportunity to examine our lives and then enjoy this beautiful sign and seal of His mercy and His grace, which we're going to talk about. Now, as we do that, let's also learn from the requests of David's prayer, the requests of David's prayer. Looking at his requests will help shape our requests. David's main request was for God to mercifully refrain from anger. I'm using the word mercy because David knew he was guilty. He knew God wasn't doing anything wrong to him. God knew justice demanded that his sin be punished. So David is not complaining to God in this psalm. David is not, you know, shaking his fist at God, "How can you do this?" No, he knows that God's anger is a just, righteous, good, needed anger. And so when he says in verse 1, "O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath," he's asking for mercy. He's asking God to refrain from treating him as he justly deserves to be treated. That's what mercy is. That's the definition of mercy. Mercy is when God, who as the king must justly punish you, refrains from doing so. That's mercy, when punishment is refrained from, when just punishment is refrained from. That's mercy, and that's what David is asking for here. Don't pour out your just anger on me. Cease from doing so. David knew he was too weak to withstand it. David knew God's just anger would crush him, so he pleads for mercy, and that's how we should pray to God as well. We should understand justice demands that our sins be punished. We should understand that God is our holy creator and king and is just and right to be the one who punishes our sins. And we should humbly ask Him for mercy. Do not discipline me in your wrath, your just wrath. That's one of David's requests we can learn from. And the second request is for God to mercifully protect from enemies. Mercifully protect from enemies. Look at verse 16. David says, "For I said, only let them not rejoice over me, who boast against me when my foot slips." And then in verses 19 and 20, he says, "But my foes are vigorous, they are mighty, and many are those who hate me wrongfully. Those who render me evil for good accuse me because I follow after good." Whenever we are weak, whenever we are falling, then enemies have the opportunity to boast over us and take advantage of us. And David, on top of everything else, was experiencing that as well. And such attacks not only affect the Christian, but also Christianity itself. Think about how many times those who are against Christians have made much of the sinfulness of Christians. When it becomes known that some pastor has sinned or something like that, think of how many people take advantage of that and gloat and show their disdain for Christianity because of that leader's sin. And David was experiencing that as well, his enemies taking advantage, gloating over him, belittling him. And so David asks for merciful protection from his enemies. And then summing up all of his requests, David asks for merciful salvation. That's his last and that's his main request. Merciful salvation. He says in the last two verses, "Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me. O Lord, my salvation." In those two verses, David is voicing his utter dependence on God for salvation. David knows he can do nothing to save himself. He knows he can't pull himself up by his own bootstraps. He knows his good works are not going to get him out of the mess that he's in. He's not trying to save himself by his good works. He's totally dependent on God. So he cries out with faith alone in the grace and mercy of God and all the promises of God. David cries out to God alone for salvation. And that's what we should do as well. And today, dear Christians, I want you to realize that the table is set before us, reminding us of why this awesome salvation is available to us. Listen to this. The table set before us reminds us of what God had to do in order to show us mercy and grant us salvation. The table reminds us that God Himself had to endure the just punishment our sins deserve. God is just. He never sweeps any sin under the rug. He justly punishes all sins. And therefore, to grant us salvation, to treat us with mercy, He had to endure the punishment our sins deserve. And I ask you to think about that in light of what we're reading in Psalm 38. In Psalm 38, we hear David crying out because he's in pain. He's in pain as God punishes him for the sin in his life. Please realize God was only giving David just a taste of the just punishment his sin deserved. God was not pouring out his full just wrath on all of David's sins. For if God had done that, David would have been in hell. David was crying out in pain as he only got just a taste of the punishment. And in contrast, what I ask you to realize today is that for God to be merciful and just and save us, His Son, our Lord Jesus, had to endure in His human flesh. He took on at His birth we just celebrated. He had to endure in His human flesh the full just wrath of God against all of our sins. Do you see the truth here? This is the amazing, staggering gospel, the good news. He who is holy, 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 who never broke one law, never sinned in any way as he lived in this fallen world, he had to willingly carry on his own shoulders our sins. And he had to take those sins to the cross and nail them there. He had to bear the full just wrath against them. That's what Jesus was doing when he cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Dear Christians, let us realize today that David's anguish communicated in this psalm and any anguish we have experienced for our sins is absolutely nothing compared to what Jesus himself has endured to forgive us of all our sins. Examine your hearts, realizing, therefore, how much God loves you. Could it be any clearer that God loves you? That He has good plans and wants to save you? Could it be any clearer? Examine yourself. Hate the sin that you see. Turn from it. Flee from it. Turn to Christ, your Lord and Savior. I'm going to give us time of silence to examine ourselves. And then I'm going to lead us in a prayer of confession. And then we're going to end our time of prayer singing together, "God be merciful to me." So whatever musicians who are going to lead us in that, I ask you to come forward at this time. We're going to have a time of silence. I'll lead us in a prayer of confession. And then we're going to just continue to pray, a singing together, a beautiful prayer, "God be merciful to me." Let's bow for our time of silent reflection and examination.